try my best to know it all. But the taller I stand, the harder I fall. And I know.
All right, welcome to Hits and Gigs, episode 10. That's right, we've reached double digits. I don't know how or why.
I never thought we'd make it here, man.
I have so many people to thank. Like two people.
Well, we have to thank our tens of listeners.
That's true. Thank you, listeners.
For helping us get so far.
So far. Man, we've like changed studios and everything. It's crazy.
Fuck, we've been all over the place,
just crazy. Now you're in Edmonton? This is fucked.
This is insane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, Savick's in from Edmonton this time because he went back home for the summer for a little bit.
Went home to go see my parents. It's been nice.
Yeah. Free grub?
Free food, free accommodations.
Pretty sick.
I have a vehicle here. It's awesome.
Whoa. Like a bike?
No, like an automobile.
I know. you can like drive drunk again, right?
Yeah, we're totally cool with that out west.
Yep, Edmonton. If you want to drive drunk, just go out there.
As long as you're going to fill up on the way home.
Oh my god. Okay, so...
Like, there's been a bunch of like oil spills in here, in this province lately. It's been good.
Oh, from drunks.
Well, probably.
Yeah, okay.
Someone has to be drunk. How do you spill oil?
I don't know, like, you try siphoning, and you just like, fuck up.
I mean, this is their job. Shouldn't they be able to do it well?
Wait, whose job? Oh.
The oil men.
Right. I gotcha.
Anyways.
Okay, so, on episode 10. drunk Edmontonians. And also, we're talking to Tom Hanley and Kyle Woodard of the band Juice.
Yeah.
They have an album coming out July 16th. It sounds pretty dope. They sent us the album just to like have a listen to before the interview. So we're really looking forward to talking to them. Got some questions for them that I'm sure will have great answers.
Hopefully.
Hopefully
this isn't another flop.
You know what? We don't... Yeah, I know. Like, fucking that other flop. Do we have a flop? No. I don't think we've had a... I don't know.
Whenever Dan asks anything.
Oh, right. That's true. Oh, yeah. Dan's not here as well. We should probably mention that.
Dan couldn't join us for undisclosed reasons.
Yep. Although, his separated shoulder is fine again, so that's good.
He's been milking that thing, man, for like 3 years.
His separated shoulder?
Yeah.
Savick, what are we talking about right now?
Dan's separated shoulder.
Okay. So anyway, no one wants to hear about that. What? Let's jump straight to the interview, eh? Let's do that.
Yeah, for
cool.
Sure.
So you're going to hear a track by Juice, and then we're going to talk to him. It's going to be sweet. How do I fall? And I know, I know, I know. All right, welcome back to Hits and Gigs, episode 10. We're now joined by Tom Hanley and Kyle Woodard of Juice. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing great. That track we just heard was called Wake Me Up, and it's off the new album Hit the Ground Running. That's coming out on the 16th, right, guys?
Yeah.
Cool. And I guess before we get started with the questions, where can people pick up the album?
The album is available on our Bandcamp. It's also available on iTunes. So it'll be going live July 16th. Our Bandcamp is juicemusic.bandcamp.com.
Wicked.
So that's probably the best place to find it.
Cool. Yeah, we'll stick that link up with the episode as well so people can get to it pretty easy.
Great.
I guess let's just get started with some questions about the album. So, like, I've seen a bit of, writing about you guys on the website. Like, you have some press, and I guess the album's described as, like, funk, rock, a little bit of, like, ska as well.
Yeah.
Where are the influences from?
Wow, this is always kind of a tough question.
Because, yeah.
So there's six guys in the band, and everyone kind of comes from, like, their own musical place.
How about for you guys? Like, where, like, if you guys do any of the writing, like, where does it come from for you guys?
Basically, like, we all listened to a lot of Motown growing up.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was a big fan of Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder. And, like, of course, rock, classic rock, like Led Zeppelin and, you know, those types of bands. And so growing up, listening to that sort of stuff and then graduating to that sort of Motown R&B sound. So we started off the band as sort of a cover band doing that type of music. Stevie Wonder, who else did we do? We did Dave Matthews,
yeah,
like Four that. Tops, yeah. Like classic R&B Motown. And then we started writing our own stuff, sort of incorporating that, but also staying true to like the rock stuff that we grew up on. So yeah, like that type of thing. I grew up listening to like Q107.
Nice.
So... that stuff.
Yeah. How did it evolve into, like, because for me, I was listening to, you guys were nice enough to send us just like a little sneak peek at the album, or the whole album actually.
Yeah.
And like, there is quite a lot of like ska and reggae type of grooves. Like, who kind of brought that in to the group?
I mean, I guess like it'd probably be me and the bass player. He's like, he's a big fan of reggae and that type of stuff. Like, I listened to a lot of Toots and the Maytals growing up, and of course like Bob Marley. So I mean, that's definitely an influence in there, like that sort of reggae ska feel for sure.
I grew up on Toots, man. I love that stuff.
Yeah, he's the best.
So did you guys? Was it a pretty easy transition for you guys to go from being a cover band into being an all-original group?
Yeah, I would say so. We're, like, basically, we, like, the cover band, we kind of learned what we wanted to be. And then we were doing that a couple summers ago, and then we all came back to school, and then just kind of focused and started running our own songs and playing shows. Around Toronto, and yeah, it just kind of took off from there. Like, I remember it being like really easy.
Nice. Awesome. Something I noticed on your website is you guys play like a ton.
Yeah.
It seems to be like at least once a week. Like, I mean, during the Beaches Jazz Fest, you're playing what, like three shows, I think it is, or something.
Yeah, like that? We have a show. We have a show on the Wednesday as well for our friend. He's making a like an independently filmed and funded movie. Mm-hmm. So we're playing at his fundraiser, and then we're doing three shows for the Beaches. So it's going to be like a pretty crazy week.
Wow, that's very cool. I'm curious about that that fundraiser. What do you guys have to do for that?
Basically, it's at Parts and Labor. It's for I think the movie's called, what is it? Modern Romance is Dead.
Yeah.
it's filmed by our good friend Omi Thompson. He directed our music video for Wake Me Up.
Nice.
And so, basically, Parts and Labor, we're going to be playing a set with this band called The Skinny Bitches. And, like, I think it'll be a good time, it'll be a party, and it's just sort of to try and help him fund for the making of the movie. So
he's a talented guy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
So that's something that, like, people can go to if they want to? Nice.
Totally.
Yeah, for sure. That's the 24th.
Awesome. Cool. So... I guess from the whole, like, because you guys play so much, like, is do you find that you guys, I mean, you said that it was really easy to transition from playing covers to playing originals. Is it, I mean, was it because of all the playing you guys did together? And just, like just being so tight as a band, I guess, or?
I mean, we definitely developed. Like, we've been playing together for about 4 years now. So, I mean, if we looked back on ourselves, like, even a year ago, yeah. It's like, oh my God, what the hell were we doing? But, it definitely, you know, like, playing those classic songs definitely gives you a good idea of arrangements and dynamics and, you know, just playing tight. Like, we all listen to a bunch of bands like Lettuce and Snarky Puppy, so, like,
nice.
You know, those are, like, the tightest bands that sort of strive to try and get to that level.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, like, being a cover band definitely helps with, you know, just figuring out sound and how you want to present yourself as a band.
So, could you guys talk a little bit about the process of recording the whole album?
We sure can. Why don't you take that, Kyle?
Kyle here. Tom and I in our fourth year, we had our Humber project over at good old Humber College, and we decided to combine our recording sessions. So I guess that worked out to like eight 4-hour sessions, and we recorded all of them and mixed outside of Humber. And so the whole recording process took the entire year, like September to April. We did all 10 songs along the way and overdubs and all that fun stuff. We actually did some overdubs and like vocals outside of Humber as well.
I think the craziest part of this album was we had just released an EP. I guess like we released it in the September of fourth year, right?
Yeah.
So we just released all of our original music, and then we wanted to write another album, and we didn't have any rep to record. So basically, we're just like really pushing ourselves between each session to write new material. So over 8 months where, you know, like if you don't have deadlines, you're just hanging out and you sort of jam and come up with a new song here and there. We were like, we need to have 10 good songs or we're screwed, right? Because like this is a great opportunity to record an album in a great facility. If we don't take advantage of this, we're going to be like shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, so it was a lot of pressure.
So I mean, it was just like really, it was, you know, get good fast. That's sort of what it made us do. So we sort of got our writing process down pat. You know, I'd sort of bring in a skeleton of a song, bring it to the rhythm section. We'd sort of figure out the groove, and then the horns would figure out, you know, like where melodically they want to be and sort of figure out form and all that stuff. But I mean, it was a great experience recording it. Like we, our next album, and we'll do it a lot differently for sure. Like,
yeah, it won't be
so
8 or 9 months long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, rent a cabin and chill.
Do it
for like a couple of weeks.
Nice.
Yeah.
How did you guys do the EP before the fourth year project?
What we did was we met up with this guy named Kidboy Thomas. He runs a studio called Heaven Sound. And like, you know, he had really reasonable prices and it was exactly what we needed. Like we were, I guess, end of third year. We had a couple songs and we wanted to start, you know, just getting stuff recorded so we'd have something to represent us. So we went to Heaven Sound, we recorded 4 songs, and then if you know the recording school OEART, what they do is they offer Humber students free sessions to go, and then so the Humber students get some recording experience, and then the students there get recording experience. So we went there, and we recorded 2 songs with an engineer named Arthur Bastos, and he did a really great job, and so they made the EP too, so... That's how we kind of got it done before our fourth year project.
Very cool. So it's a bit of a different process as compared to Humber's thing, eh?
Totally.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, obviously they're both like really great experiences, but did you guys have like an easier time with any of them or something like that? Or how did you take away the different types, you know?
Like where we were at each time, I think there were always challenges, you know. Like when we did the EP, we didn't know... We had never been to the Humber studio probably, so we didn't really know the challenges that could come up there.
Yeah.
But, totally amazing learning experience both ways. Just getting better every time.
Yeah, like, the main thing I would say is, like, the next record we want to do, we want to have all the music written, we want to have, like, a really good, clear idea production-wise, yeah. And, you know, like, transitions, and just really make it, like, sound like a record.
Right.
Whereas, like, prior to, like, our the album we're releasing right now, it was sort of, you know, it's got an interesting feel because we were... You know, we wrote the songs at different parts in the school year, right?
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, if someone was listening to this style of music, this comes out a little more. And one time, you know, I was struggling. I was, what should I write, Kyle? And he's like, write a dance tune. So
yeah.
We wrote like this like funky dance song that's, you know, the second track on the album. So, you know, it's really interesting. Every project is different and,
yeah.
You know, there's problems with each of them, but... The more you do it, the more you learn, you know, how to be prepared and how to get ready to do a new project.
Yeah. And I'd say with the Humber one, it was really awesome because we got to just try a ton of stuff. We got to try gear and equipment, and we got to bring in friends. Like, we brought in the strings, which was awesome.
Nice.
And backup vocals and all that fun stuff, percussion and everything.
Nice. Speaking of strings, you said that... I mean, you mentioned that they're going to be at the album release show on the 19th, I think
yeah.
You said that? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so bring them out. They're going to be some special guests.
How do you guys go about arranging this sort of music with, like, a string group in mind?
I basically thought about, like, Motown music for some of it, and then that was my inspiration, and... I don't know. I just listen to a lot of, like, I know Incubus has some sweet strings. I remember that's what I was listening to when I wrote strings for Indigo and Big Heart. And, like, Big Heart definitely has, like, a folk vibe, so that came a little bit more naturally for writing strings, I would say.
That's very cool. Nice. Yeah. I wanna ask you guys about, I mean, we were just kind of, like, going through your pages online here, and your Facebook page has, like, 15,000 likes on it.
Yes.
Which is, like, an insane number.
Yeah.
How do you guys work on building up that number, and then how do you work on, like, making sure that that falls back to, like, the success of the band, like, in real life, so it's not just a number online?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, the Facebook likes are really cool. Like, in our bio it says, in September 2012, we had, like, this Reddit explosion, so, Craig, the keys player, posted our EP on a like an article, and it just blew up. Like, we got like 40,000 plays over 2 days or something.
Wow!
And like we were number three in overall sales in Bandcamp and number one in the rock genre.
Holy shit!
So, yeah, it was a really, you know, it's just crazy that can happen. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't even like we weren't promoting ourselves. He just said, "Here's us," and then a link.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was really incredible. So through that sort of started the Facebook thing to expand. Like, we have a lot of people from Panama. There's a lot of people in Panama. There's a bunch of people from India on the page, like some people from the States. Like, I mean, seeing bands that have big Facebook numbers, you can't really, you know, it doesn't mean everything. It totally doesn't mean, like, they've made it or anything like that. But it's also... You know, when you make posts and whatnot, more people see them, the more people you have on your Facebook. So that helps out,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can maybe play in Panama one day, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see.
It's pretty crazy the way that blew up. Like, we've met people, we've met some guys from New Zealand that have messaged us and say they love our stuff. South America, we emailed a guy, like, a physical CD because he wanted one.
Wow.
Australia... Europe.
UK.
Yeah, like a buddy in England.
Spain.
Yeah, Spain. Like, it's just nuts that this is happening now and you can, like, connect with people. I don't know.
Wow, that's great.
So easily.
Yeah.
My mom likes my music. That's about it, you know?
That's super cool, because, I mean, it's so hard for most bands to break out of that circle of friends that comes to their show.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
It's nice to see that...
Yeah,
we totally know how that is, and you still, honestly, like, we still totally rely on that.
Yeah,
like, you can't play in your hometown all the time, because it's just the people who come out to see you are your buddies. But you also need to have sort of a view on the bigger audience. And like, I find, you know, you would know this as well, being musicians, a lot of the time, you know, you cater to musicians and you're always thinking, oh, your friends are musicians, they got to come out and see it and whatnot. But like, there's such a huge population of music fans who aren't musicians, right? And they don't care about your chops, and they don't care about, you know, how tight you are or whatever. It's just like they connect with your songs and your songwriting, and like, you really have to keep that in mind when you're writing music and when you're performing. You want to make it an experience for everybody, not just musicians.
Yeah.
Savvy, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys got like a fairly big tour coming up in the next little while, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys want to just give us a little preview of that?
Basically, like, over the, you know, like 3 or 4 years we've been gigging, what we've done is we've sort of slowly built up sort of home bases in each town that we've played. And so for this release tour, we've sort of, you know, 3 months in advance or 4 months, you start contacting each of your home bases and try and line it up in a row that, you know, you can sort of cover a lot of ground. You know, we're playing the Beaches Festival, which is great. We know the lady who books for the Newmarket Jazz Festival, so she really wanted to get us on. And then through a few contacts, we got on the PEI Jazz Festival, and we're trying to figure out a date for Halifax as well with a bunch of bands out there. So it's like the biggest thing is networking, just really trying to, you know, find bands that are on a similar sort of vibe and wavelength as your band and try and book shows with them in their place and then have them back to your local town or, like, you know, bring them back to Toronto and then play with them there. So it's sort of gig swapping and whatnot. But through doing that, we've found that we've been able to book shows in places that we've never played before. So it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. Yeah, I noticed on your like events page on your website, there's a bunch of like traditional venues, but there's also a bunch of like maybe non-traditional venues.
Yeah,
like, you guys will play, like, the, I mean, one of them here is, like, June 6th, Huron Heights Relay for Life, something like that, you know?
That was awesome.
That, yeah, that one, like, specifically, that's my old high school.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, they wanted us back and played their Relay for Life, so that was pretty awesome.
That's very cool. How do you guys work on, I mean, because you said networking is the way that you guys do a lot of these gigs, but is it just calling people up and being like, hey, you know, do you want to play another gig together, like, maybe in your hometown this time or something like that, or?
Yeah, pretty much, like, it's just, you know, researching on Facebook and on Google and YouTube and whatnot. Like, there's tons of sites and, you know, like, Reverb Nation and whatnot that have a bunch of information on bands in different areas. So just emailing them, like, showing them, you know, this is what we sound like, we think we'd be a good fit with you guys, and then you sort of offer them, you know, we'd love to have you guys play with us in our local, wherever we want to play, like a local venue around Toronto, and do it just like that, basically.
Nice.
I'm just on the events page right now, and I was wondering, what's the Juice Barbecue?
And that's, that is that like September 14th?
Yes, it is.
Basically, with like events like that, it's like I kind of, you know, I make up a title for it. Basically, we're playing like a private event for this lady. So it's like the Juice Barbecue. That's sort of what I've labeled it as.
Cool. Okay. I was getting really excited there for a while. Okay.
Yeah. we should have a barbecue soon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Be fun.
Barbecuing's the shit. I love it. Man. Cool, guys. Well, thanks a ton for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
So one more time, you got the album released July 16th.
Yep.
And that's available at juicemusic.bandcamp.com.
Yep.
And juicemusic.ca.
Yep.
And then right after that, 3 days later, you got the album release show July 19th. That's next Friday at 3030 Dundas West.
Yes, sir.
Which is a sick venue. Love that place.
Yeah. I love 3030.
You guys have played at 3030 quite a bit, right?
Yeah. It's sort of been our home base in Toronto for a while now.
Yeah, totally.
Nice. And then after that, you got the tour. Sorry to keep interrupting you. My bad. You go ahead.
The Flow is going to be playing with us too, so you probably know those guys.
Yeah, we actually had Rackner on as like a guest host.
Nice.
A few weeks ago, so. And then after that, you guys got the tour. But I guess we'll hear more about that when it gets closer to the date, eh?
Totally.
Cool.
Got it.
So before we sign off, do you guys have any shout-outs you want to do or anything like that? Anything you want to plug?
Basically, we just like to shout out to all the band members in our in Juice, Max, Andrew, Claudio, and Craig. Those are, you know, those are our boys. They made this stuff happen. So definitely, hello, Juice.
Cool. Hi, guys. Thanks a lot. Eh? Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks so much for coming on.
I was told you can't, you won't give up while you still care. You're too young, too weak, too blind, too even understand. What could you possibly...
All right, welcome back to episode 10 of Hits and Gigs. Oh my god. Sorry, I got excited for a second.
Gotta get that all out.
Dude, I got excited because of that awesome interview with Juice.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks to them for coming on.
It was very good. I learned a lot about posting to Reddit.
Yeah, post your shit to Reddit, man. Dude, fuck. It'll change your life.
Did they say 40,000 page views in 2 days?
Yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous.
That's insane.
Man.
So yeah, if you're tired of just having the same people at your show all the time, post your shit on Reddit.
And then you can go to faraway countries, and it's fine.
Yeah, man.
Totally. So Savik, what, you say you're in Edmonton.
I am.
You say it, I don't believe you, but you say you're in there. Have you been checking out shows over there, or what's going on?
I've been to a whole ton of shows recently. I got back on Thursday the 4th or the 6th or something like that. I don't know, last Thursday I got back.
Okay, so a week ago today.
Yeah, a week ago today I got back. And so Friday night I went out to see my friend's band Cat Gut at Bohemian.
Cat Gut Your Tongue?
Nice. But they were really good. They're like super loud. Pretty fun show. The next day I went out to Wonder Bar to see Two Bears North. They're a bunch of my friends. And they're like kind of folky stuff. Nice. Folky singer-songwriter stuff, and that was a fun show.
Nice.
And then on Sunday, I went out to go see... I went downtown, or not downtown, down to White Ave, and Blues on White was having a big street party, so they had a huge stage set up, and there was blues bands playing all day. And that was a lot of fun, but I was kind of shocked there wasn't a huge turnout.
Well, dude, it was all of Edmonton.
Maybe it was because it was a Sunday night, but...
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It was, like, not a huge turnout, but after that, I went downtown to On the Rocks to see Chemo Treats.
Wow. These are some weird-ass band names, man.
You guys, everyone should check out Chemo Treats. They're a hilarious parody rap group.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
They're fucking... It was a great show. They're really good guys. It was fantastic. Definitely check them out.
Nice. So, chemo? How do you... Like, chemo,
chemo
like...
Chemo treats.
Like chemotherapy?
No, it's K-E-M-O.
Okay, okay. Sick.
They're a... It's, I think it's a weed reference.
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Nice. I think so.
Yeah. That's cool.
But yeah, they're like, you know...
Nice.
They're good. They're fun. Nice.
It's cool being closer to downtown in Edmonton than living in Etobicoke, eh?
No, I actually live... Oh. I live about an hour outside of Edmonton, so I'm further away.
But you can drive.
Yes, I can.
Perfect. Nice. I saw this really, really cool band play at the Transac. I think it was, like, last Tuesday night or something like that. But they're called Gorilla Mask.
Okay.
And it's like a... Okay, they're described as, like, punk rock / free improv. And it was so cool. It's like alto sax, drums, and then electric bass with like a shit ton of pedals. So it's just the trio, but they play grooves, like really heavy grooves. And then they go back and forth between the heavy grooves and like just like completely free playing.
That's awesome.
And then like they also mix it up, like it'll be like half free playing, half like heavy groove. Like they'll be playing a groove and a sax player will be like playing free over top of it, you know? Something like that. And they're called Gorilla Mask because apparently they usually wear like an actual gorilla mask when they're playing. Like that's what they had in their picture. But like for some reason at the Transic they weren't doing that. Maybe because like it's more of a, like a smaller venue, I guess, or something like that. But
it's too bad.
I don't know. No, but it was really cool. And then they're from Germany as well. So I don't know. They were in here touring with Dan Fortan, actually, like with his group Engine.
That's sick.
So like, you know, Dan Fortan, who was like a guest on the show earlier on, doing a bunch of gigs around the city, and those guys came.
I think that was episode 4, Crappy Islands.
Oh yes, Crappy Islands. Man, I haven't done a Crappy Islands post in a while.
Gotta get on that, dude.
I know, man. Gotta get on it.
Oh, I need to plug a show.
Do it.
For those of you listening to this on Thursday the 11th, there's a show tonight at the Transac. My friend Martin Porter is coming in from New York. He's a piano player. He's a real good piano player. And he's coming in from New York to play a show with Rob Clutton on bass and Nick Fraser on drums.
Nick Fraser's really good.
sorry?
Nick Fraser's really good.
Yeah, and special instruments with special guests.
Cool.
So, like, definitely go down and check that out. It's going to be a sick show, and I'm really upset that I'm not in town to go see it.
Damn. Okay. Well, I'll go. What time do they start? Do you know, like 10 or something like that?
Probably? I'm on the event page right now, 10 p.m. until 1 a.m.
Wicked. Okay, cool. I'm going to plug some fucking shows as well. I'm playing Transic the night after, so I'm playing Friday, tomorrow. I'm subbing into Dan's band, Midcoast.
Okay.
And so we're playing a gig there. I think we're on at like 9 or something like that, but yeah, just check Transic's page for the event. And then also Saturday night, I started, I don't even know where this gig is yet, but like I'm playing in a free improv group. That's a lot of fun. It's just like the people living in my house is the group.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, so it's like me, PJ Anderson, who plays trombone, Dave Haskett, who plays bass, and Elliot Bold Norman, who plays guitar. And so we're just like a band, and we just play like free music, and it's so fun. And it's up at someone's house, like I think at Bathurst or sorry. Yeah, I think like Bathurst and DuPont area. But I don't know, if anyone's interested, I'll just put up the link. And it's like kind of bring your own alcohol and whatnot. So it's gonna be a fun time.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. And the band that's playing in that show as well is Junior Bob, which is a really fucking good band. Just playing like it's called Math Rock.
Mm.
So it's just like a bunch of like really complicated shit that I don't understand, but it's really cool.
Yeah, that'll be sick.
Yeah. So let's stop promoting our own shit and wrap this up. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Cool. So once again, big thanks to Tom Hanley and Kyle Woodard from Juice for coming on. Check out their album release show on the 19th and buy their album. JuiceMusic.bandcamp.com. It's going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back with you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
The days I swept were a waste of time. Go ahead, tell me all your doubts, and I'll tell you that I'm mine. I'm not giving up, not going.